Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning, we're going to be continuing in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. From the beginning of history, people have felt the presence of God whenever they looked at the twinkling stars of the night sky. And in recent years, the bright lights of the city have made it more difficult to see the stars. However, at the same time, as technology has advanced and the cities have become bright, we also have developed the Hubble Space Telescope. So with the images from the space telescope, we can see the heavens more clearly than ever before, the stars and the galaxies beyond. We now know, according to scientific research anyway, that there are over about 400 billion stars in our own galaxy, and that the universe has 80 billion galaxies or more. That's a big universe. 80 billion galaxies, 400 billion stars in one galaxy. That adds up to a lot of stars. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, challenges us to know the Creator God who made all these things. Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? The vast multitude of stars. Who made all of these? The Creator God. The heavens reveal the power and wisdom of God. But at the same time that it's so beautiful, when we consider the vastness of God's creation, we also realize how tiny the earth is. The earth in all of this is like a little speck of dust. A tiny little speck in a vast universe. And we may wonder when we think about that, whether our existence even matters very much on this little speck of dust that we call Earth. We may wonder whether God even thinks about us or notices us. But the Bible teaches us that the Creator God who made the heavens is also a God of love. His love is endless and He cares about every tiny detail of the creation that He has made. He cares about each and everything, and He especially loves each and every person that He has lovingly made by His hand. Last week we saw how Jesus demonstrated His power over nature by calming the storm on the Sea of Galilee. Today we're going to see how He demonstrates His power over the supernatural, the invisible supernatural world as well. Jesus' power over all of the natural world and all of the supernatural world as well. And we'll also see how He loves each and every one. Let's go ahead and read Luke chapter 8, verses 26 to 39. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, He was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at His feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and He gave them permission. And when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Amen. In this passage, we see them setting out, Jesus and the disciples, and they get into a small boat and they cross Lake Galilee or the Sea of Galilee. And last week when they tried that, a big storm came up and Jesus had to calm the storm. But this time it seems they got across the lake okay. We don't know exactly, but their boat may have looked something like this. This is a reconstruction of a first century boat. And you can imagine the disciples and Jesus in the boat crossing over. And they get to the far side, and just as they arrive at the far side, a man comes out and he comes down before them. And he's a man who's possessed or tormented by a demon. Oppressed by not just one, but many powerful demons, it says, because his name is Legion. He comes out and he comes down. He's not wearing any clothing. He's been living among the tombs for a long time. The people of the town, they tried to chain him, but the chains couldn't hold him, and he broke the chains and returned to the tombs. And I think everyone must have been afraid of this man, terrified. And when this man came out, probably everyone ran the other way to avoid him and to get away from him. He must have been very frightening. And the man himself must have been suffering greatly. Naked, alone, tormented by demons, living in the place of the dead, probably afraid, ashamed, and without hope. Can you imagine the life this man was leading? Captive, prisoner of Satan, controlled by him. The people of the town would have run whenever they saw him coming, I think. But Jesus did not flee from this man. When the man came out, Jesus met him. And verse 30 says, Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. Well, a standard Roman legion is a military formation of 6,000 men. I don't think we can say that there was exactly 6,000 demons. I don't think it works that way necessarily. But the name reflects the idea that not one, but many, many demons were there tormenting the man, controlling him. We may not know the particular number, but oppressed by these demons, the man had no hope of freeing himself. There was no way that he could free himself. He had to be set free by someone with power, the Lord. The Lord Jesus. No matter how bad the situation, there is someone who can help. Jesus, Lord of all, of the natural world, power over the storm, and over the supernatural world, power over the demons. The demons knew they had to obey the word of Jesus, and they begged him not to send them into the abyss, a place of imprisonment for demons, but to send them into a herd of swine, pigs. And Jesus granted their request, and the demons left the man and entered the pigs, and the pigs rushed down the hill, the steep bank, it says, into the lake and drowned. Notice that Jesus did not kill the pigs. It was the demons that did that. They drove the pigs to their death. Now, there's some debate amongst Bible scholars about the exact location where this happened. Many scholars believe it's a place called Kersey, which is, we have a photo of the cliff there. And some scholars believe it's another spot that's a little bit further away from this spot. In any case, the level of the lake and the shape of the hillside in 2,000 years have changed somewhat. So it's not exactly clear what the exact spot was. But we want to get a hold of the fact that these are events that actually happened, not a story that somebody made up or something. But this actually happened in history. Real events, real people, and real demons. The Bible consistently tells us that Satan, the devil, and the demons are real. We need to deal with that fact. But Jesus is far greater than them. And Jesus is Lord of all. Regardless of the exact location, Jesus did a great miracle and he freed the man who had been possessed by these many demons. He was set free from all that had bound him and restored. Praise the Lord. A great miracle. A miracle of joy. But how did the people of the town react to this wonderful news that the man was free? Not so well. What did the people of the town do? Yeah, they came out and asked Jesus to leave. Verse 37. All the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. Bad mistake asking Jesus to leave. Don't do that. Yeah, it's a little scary to be in the presence of someone with such great power. But he's good and loving. We want to be with him. We don't want to send him away. Now, in this short little story, there are a lot of different things we could talk about. There's a lot in here. But for today, I'm going to leave most of that for another time. And I want to focus on one main point here that I want us all to get this one main thing out of this story. And this is what I want you to notice. Jesus crossed the lake with his disciples and he went to the far side to help, to save, to set free one man. One man. And then Jesus and his disciples went back across the lake when the people of the town asked them to leave. Jesus spent the whole day and the time of all the disciples for the whole day to go and save one man. And Jesus, I'm sure Jesus cares about pigs and animals. But the man was far more valuable than the pigs. Jesus didn't mind that a whole herd of pigs were destroyed. Jesus didn't mind that the demons had to be driven out. He didn't even mind that the whole town was mad at him for helping this man and afraid of him. Jesus didn't care about all these things because he loved that one man and he was determined to go and save him and to set him free from the evil, the sin, the torment that he was in. This is what I want us to get a hold of today. is Jesus loves the whole world. Yes, absolutely. But He loves every single person. A single human being. And that means you also. Are very valuable, precious in the sight of the Lord in His eyes. Each and every one, Jesus loves so much. Jesus is willing to pay a very high price in time and energy and effort and suffering, whatever it takes to bring one person to salvation, to deliverance, to freedom in Christ. In Luke chapter 15, we'll have time to look at this a lot more because when we get to Luke 15, we're going to study a set of parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. In these parables, in each case, we see that Jesus shows that He is deeply concerned about the individual. You see, the parables are not just about a sheep and a coin, or even a lost one. They're about the individual. Because Luke 19:10 tells us, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So we have these parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin and the lost son. And they're all, they have more in them than just that. But the biggest main point probably in all of them is that Jesus loves, cares about, values the one. The one person is searched for and found, and heaven rejoices in the salvation of one. The ultimate expression of Jesus' love for every person is seen at the cross. At the cross, Jesus paid the ultimate price in order to offer to each of us the priceless gift of salvation. Now, we mentioned at the beginning, there's this vast universe with billions of billions of stars in a galaxy and billions of galaxies, and the earth is like a little tiny speck of dust. And each of us is just a little tiny thing on this little tiny speck of dust. And we ask, why does God care so much about each and every one? Why does He care so much about Dan? Or why does He care so much about you? Far more than He cares about the animals, far more than He cares about time or energy or effort or pain, He cares about you. Why does He do that? Why is a single human being so important to God? Well, back at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, we're given a little bit of a hint. Verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." This is a very important verse for understanding what's going on in history and what God is doing. The flowers of the field, the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the animals, including the pigs, each and every detail of God's creation is important to God. There's nothing that does not have value in all of that. And yet, a single human being is of far greater value, far more important. Men and women are worth far more than pigs, far more than animals. Jesus cares about it. Jesus even had compassion on the demons when they asked His they could go under the pigs instead of being sent to the abyss. Jesus gave them permission to go where they wanted to go. It's not that He doesn't care about everything else. He does. But He cares so much more about you. The value of one human being. Why Well, one reason is because men and women are created in God's image. Created in God's image so that we are able to have true fellowship with Him. You can have a sort of a relationship with a pig. Some of us is kind of a breakfast relationship. But you could keep a pig as a pet. Or a dog or a cat or another animal. All of which are good. But you can't have fellowship with an animal like that. Like you can with other human beings. Because they are not like us. But we can have fellowship with God because God created men and women, every single one, to be in a sense like Him. Created in the image of God, male and female. And that's what the Lord is doing. He's seeking that personal relationship of love and fellowship with each and every one that He has created in His own image. Jesus wants to have a close personal relationship of fellowship with you. And He values you so much. You are very precious in His eyes. A very important person to Him. He loves you. You're created in His image for fellowship with Him. One person, each and every one, no matter what your situation or your problems might be, and some people have rough problems, like the guy in this story today, tormented by demons, controlled by them, naked, suffering, living in the graves. Hey, this guy had some serious problems. I imagine he lost his job and his wife probably divorced him too. I don't know. He had some serious problems. But Jesus loved him and cared enough to spend the whole day going and seeking him and finding him and setting him free and restoring him. Because Jesus not only loves people, He has the power and authority to set you free from sin and death. And that's what He wants to do. Jesus is Lord over the natural world and over the supernatural world. He is Lord over all and all things. He has the power and authority to command the wind and the waves and also the demons and Satan with a single word, and they must obey Him. Because He's the Creator. All authority and power. And Jesus loves us so much that not just spending a day, but He came and He spent a lifetime living on earth as we do. He came from heaven and He spent, born of Mary, and He spent a lifetime on that lonely, hard, painful journey to the cross where He finally gave His very life, His human life, is an offering for sin. Because He loves you. He gave His life as a ransom for ours on the cross. And Jesus is worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our love because He's proved His love for us. But He does not force us to follow Him. He sets us free that we can have the choice to enter into the loving relationship with Him that we were created for, or to turn our backs. He doesn't force us. He gently invites us again and again to come into relationship with Him, to love Him as He loves us. See, love can't be forced. It has to be a free choice. He has chosen to love you. He has chosen to love me. I got it pretty messed up myself. Got a lot of problems. But he loves me. And he loves you. What's left is for us to make the choice to love him in return and to enter into a relationship with him of love and community, of grace and fellowship. He's inviting us, each and every one, to follow him. Let's pray. Dear loving Lord, we give thanks for the wonders of your grace, for your endless love. Lord, we give thanks that you don't just look at us as we are, but you look at us as we can become through your grace and mercy. The people of the town looked at the demon-possessed man and they ran away because they just saw him as he was at that time. But Jesus looked at him and saw him as he could be, set free, restored, whole, clothed, clean, sane. Lord, I pray that each of us would hear your voice, inviting us into loving relationship, and I pray that we would answer. Lord, open our hearts wide to receive you and to enter into relationship with you and also with one another as a loving family. Help us to love each other too, to have grace for one another, to speak to each other with gentleness and patience and love. Help us to restore relationships where they are broken, to bring healing where feelings have been hurt and damaged. Help us to love one another, to love you as you have loved us. And Lord, we know you care about each individual and the struggles and trials and problems they face. Come and meet the needs of your people. Be glorified in our lives, in our households, in our places of work and schools. Be glorified in this land, in this city, in this church, through us, the people of your word, the family of God, the household of Christ. Teach us your ways, fill us with your spirit, and help us to walk with you always. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.